Before we get into some of the teaching, Dawn says she had a word that for everybody. So come on up, Dawn, real quick, and let's hear what God's given you.
During the song about reckless love for God, something that really stood out to me was his peace and his victory. And I just saw a lot of people struggling with peace and decisions and knowing what to do and back and forth and just needing God's peace in your life to not have to make those decisions. And a verse that came up for me was Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
It's an awesome scripture. It's one of my favorites, actually. We get to completely cast our cares on the Lord and just give him thanks, you know. And it's that state. It's that, how do I say it? Because 1 Peter 5 talks about casting your care on the Lord, and it's about rolling that which is on you off of you. If you go over to Psalms 34, verse 7, it talks about roll your way onto the Lord, commit your way into him. He'll bring it to pass. And so right there, when he's saying don't be careful for anything, don't be anxious for anything, but with thanksgiving, you know, prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. Why do we thank him? We're not thanking him for the problem. We're thanking him because he's already taken care of it. He's already made provision. And so the Lord already makes provision. Wow. Give me a second. So let me just jump off of that for a moment. The Lord's just quickened something to me, so I just want to share this. This is for somebody tonight, and so let me start here, okay? In Luke chapter 12, turn with me and look at this, please. As hopefully you guys that are here know, we just go with what the Holy Spirit says to do. So I had a really good message prepared tonight. I'll share later. In Luke chapter 12, I see that. We're just going to go all the way back to verse 22. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food." In other words, get your priorities straight. Your natural needs is not important as your spirit and as your soul. And so make sure you're feeding that first. If you'll remember when Jesus was out in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, he's obviously hungry, he's fasting, he's not eating. And so when Satan finally at the end of that time comes to him and tempts him, and he was tempted the same way we are. He was tempted in his thinking. He was tempted, if you be the Son of God, the thought probably came something like this: hey, if you're the Son of God, then you can command these stones to be turned into bread since you're really, really hungry. It wasn't that Satan showed up in bodily form and tempted him that way. It was a thought that came in the way it would come to any of us. And so Jesus' response was, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, he wasn't focused on the physical, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so what Jesus was recognizing is the source of life isn't the food that we eat. In other words, that shouldn't be our first priority. It's got to be what's going on in our spirit and our connection with God. When Jesus in Luke chapter 4 shows up and ministers to a woman at the well, and the rest of the disciples went to bring him food or to go get food. And so they came back, and he said, I have food to eat of that you do not know about. And they said, well, where did he get this food? He said, my meat and my food is to do the will of my Father. In other words, the source of his life and his strength came from the abiding presence of God and this union that he had with God and co-laboring with him. Does that make sense? You follow me on that? Okay. Now, so look at this. He says, don't take thought for your life. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they do neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And so the real perspective is not about you, it's about the Father. He's wanting you to get your eyes off of your issues and get your eyes on the Father's provision and the heart of the Father. Okay? And so many times we're so inward focused that we forget about the Father's love for us. But faith is released when you understand the love of the Father. And this is where the Lord's taken me and what he's dropped in my spirit for tonight for just a moment is about kind of this walk of faith. And what that really looks like. I'm doing a series on Sunday morning just called Faith Foundations. And if you'll remember from this past Sunday, I gave you three things. Faith sees, faith speaks, and faith acts. Okay, so we're talking a little bit about what the walk of faith, what this looks like, all right, and what believing and trusting God actually looks like. And here's the thing. The Bible says that faith works by love. Apart from love, faith will not operate. Now, whose love are we talking about? We're talking about God's love towards us, not my love towards somebody else. Because if it's referring to me being in love or walking in love with somebody else, then everything is dependent on me to be able to receive from God, and that becomes self-righteousness. Amen. So it starts in a place of understanding the care of the Father for me, the love of the Father for me, and that's where absolute faith and trust can be released. Now, this is what Jesus is trying to get across to us. So he says, look, he takes care of the birds. You're of much more value than the birds. Verse 25, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, you can't. Your worry won't produce anything. If you then are not able to do what is least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They're not working as hard as you are. They're not laboring the way that you are. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, and that which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. In other words, something so insignificant as the flower, something so insignificant as the lilies of the field, something that we would not even give one thought about, has no value to us. God still is a detailed God that wants to so clothe it and to make sure it's not right. God doesn't cast it aside the way that we would. God doesn't say, you know, that's not really important when it comes to the grand scheme of things, so we're just going to not worry about what that looks like. Just be grass, and whatever it looks like is fine. No, he is interested in the very details of your life. And he's made every provision for every detail of your life. So he goes on to say here, I just love this. If God so clothes the grass which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown into the ovens, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knows that you need these things. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. So there's a priority. There's a priority difference, right? Do not fear. Do not fear, little flock. For it is your good father's, or for your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is the word that I want to give you tonight. Is to recognize, first of all, that provision for you has already been made. This is what I hear the Spirit of God saying. Whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you're praying for, whatever it is that you're facing right now, I want you to know your Father loves you so much that provision for that need has already been made. Now listen, provision that's already been made doesn't mean it's provision that's automatically received. Provision that's there doesn't mean that it's going to automatically show up in your life. Because provision is something that God has provided freely by his grace. But you're saved. Salvation has been made available. Look at it this way. Salvation has been made available to the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world, every single person, but not every single person is saved. Why? Because we're saved by grace, what? Through faith. Through faith. And so faith steps into the provision and the destiny that God has already provided. Let me give you two examples and then we're going to move on. I've told this before, but this is a great example. So, in 2016, in July, the Spirit of God, we had been dealing with some financial issues here at the church. We found ourselves coming out of the summer coming into the fall in a kind of a difficult position financially. That was in the past. That's not now. And so it looked like it was going to be that way again. God started talking to me in July about shifting the priorities of our finances. Now, we're good stewards over everything that comes in, but it was in the priority of where, who was going to get paid first, that kind of thing. God wanted me to shift that and begin to talk to me about that. And this was a 3 or 4 month process as I went through everything, prayed about it, that sort of thing. And he just kept saying priorities, priorities, priorities. You know what he wasn't saying? He wasn't saying you need more money. See, I thought money was my issue, but my money wasn't my issue. Priorities needed to be realigned into kingdom priorities in a way that then it would release the supply of God into my life. So I had to refocus and realign and listen to what God said. Now, this is the reason why this is so important, and this is the reason why Wednesday nights are so important. Listen to me very clearly. I could not necessarily go to the Word to find where it said, here are your financial priorities, per se. I couldn't go to the Word and say, oh, well, I've missed it here and I've missed it here. God needed to do something in my heart. I needed to hear the voice of God. I needed to hear the voice of God for myself, for my present situation. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says today. Somebody say today. It says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God is still speaking today. But what he needs is for people who will hear, and he needs people who will believe. The illustration there in Hebrews 3 is the children of Israel, that God talked about the promised land. He's already given them everything that he needs. He's already given them a land, cities, and all of this stuff. All he needed was for them to believe. They heard the voice. They needed to believe so that they could go in and receive what God had already provided. Are you with me? But it says that they hardened their heart through unbelief. And so we see at the end of that chapter, it says we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us fear lest a promise being left to us that we should fall short of that promise. He's talking about faith. The faith that enters into rest. So, it's important. It's not enough. Listen to me. I want you to hear my heart for a second. It's not enough that you're just that you're okay. And I don't mean this to be a condemning statement, okay? Listen to me. I'm encouraging you. I want to exhort you. I want to edify you. I want to help provoke you to more and to experiencing more of God. It's not enough just to be okay with a message on Sunday morning. Okay? I mean, I'm going to bring what I believe God's given to you for that moment. But if the only time that you're hearing from God is when you're here, then you've fallen far short of where God wants you to be. God wants you in a place that you're hearing His voice every day. When you're dealing with a job situation, when you're dealing with new job opportunities, when you're dealing with, is it time to move or is it time not to move? You need to hear the voice of God, and you're not going to hear it on a Sunday morning. But how can you tune your ear to hear His voice and to know His voice? Because He's always speaking. Because He said, my sheep know my voice. It's in opportunities like this. You step out. You step out. You step out. And you get an opportunity to kind of activate. I think God's saying this, so let's try it. That's what we're doing here on Wednesday nights, and that's awesome. So because I had come accustomed to hearing the voice of God, I knew what God was saying. But now God said, Mark, I need you to change your priorities. Part of that priority was going to cause more expense. More expense. I had to do something that we did not have money for. Well, but God said it, and I knew it was God. So I had to make a decision to believe God and trust God and say yes to that. And so I told him, this was November 2016. I said, starting January 1st, we're going to make a whole shift. We'll start doing missions this way. We'll start handling our priorities this way. I'll have conversations with everybody and let them know how we're doing it. And that's the way we're going to go. Check it out. We were behind on some things a couple of months. We were going into December. And since I've been pastoring, we've never ended the year in the red. But we were looking like we were going to be somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000 short in December. And would you know that in the second week, I think, of December, we got a check in the mail from Florida for $7,000. Completely caught us up. From somebody that hasn't given to this church since they lived here in Birmingham 20 years ago. Just showed up. Well, I got to know what's going on. So I called them. Hey, listen, thank you so much for the gift that came. You just don't know, but that's an answer to prayer. We needed that. But I got to know, what was it that caused you to give such a large amount at this time? And she said, in July, she said, we decided that we felt God leading us, from the church that we were at to begin to look for another church. And so we've been, for the last 6 months, we've been trying to find the church we're supposed to be a part of. And so we've just been putting our tithes and our giving in another account, just waiting. And so just this past week, we found the church that we're going to be joining as a family that we believe that God's leading us to. And so we asked God, what do you want us to do with this $7,000? And He said, send it to you. They didn't even give it to the new church. Why is that so significant? God already made provision and had already decreed and had already talked about it and was just waiting for me to release faith and say yes to him and to step out. But what do you think would have happened if I said no? Nope, I can't do it until we have enough money. Nope, I can't do it. I promise you that $7,000 would have ended up at another church, because the provision had already been made for the kingdom. And since I wasn't, if I wasn't willing to connect with my heart with the kingdom and say yes by faith, then what had already been provided would have been moved on to somebody who would have operated in faith. We've had the same thing happen, and I'm pretty much done, and then we're going to move on to some other things. We had the same thing happen just in the last few weeks. I talked to you about the encounter I had with God last Wednesday about some things, and he said, go forth. I don't know if you were here. I mean, the presence of God, I'm praying in here, I'm crying. It's, you know, and had some questions and some things, and God said, go expand your tents, lengthen, you know, the cords. He says, I've already decreed, provision has already been made. And something very similar, I won't go into the details of it, but something very similar to that story that just happened back in 2016 happened again this week. And the provision was already taken care of, and I had no clue, but God was waiting for me to yield last Wednesday and just say, yes, yes to that. So, Father, right now we just give you praise. We thank you, Father, that if there's anything that people are dealing with, concern for their finances, concern for their future, concern for what their job situation is, concern for their family, that right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you that you have already made provision, that we need to get our eyes off. We just kind of, as we were hearing the Spirit of God moving through the worship team, that it was to focus on you. We heard, focus on you. Keep your eyes on you. But what are we looking at? We're seeing the fact that you have already provided. You've already made provision. It's already been established and decreed in the realm of the kingdom of heaven. And so provision's already been made. And so, Father, right now, we just thank you. We're just going to take a moment. Take a moment. If that's you that's just been struggling with care and anxiety and worry about something and what am I going to do, it's time to shift the focus. Perhaps it's just confusion. Perhaps it's just uneasiness. Perhaps it's not this dread or this fear, but whatever that is shifting your focus. Father, I thank you that you've made every provision, that you already know what I have need of, and you've already made provision for it. And so, Father, I say absolute yes to you, absolute yielding to you, and an absolute trust and an absolute faith to go for it. And just to step into that provision that's already just there waiting for me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lift it up towards heaven right now. It says, in everything, through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is an intimate time to talk to the Lord about that right now, but it says, with thanksgiving. Make sure that you're ending your prayer, ending your request with a thankful heart. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Thankfulness is a fruit of faith. Thankfulness is it's a sign that you're trusting. Hallelujah. Heather, do you have a word?
Tonight, as we were worshiping, and Selena began to sing, and Pastor Mark had mentioned it too, mentioning about the glory of God. And the words, "The glory is in this place," was spoken. And here's what I heard. The glory is in this place. Do you realize that you carry the glory of God everywhere that you go? That when you got born again, that salvation included everything that you need for this life. Some of you may know this, but I'm a school teacher, and I teach high school. And anybody that knows about school knows that the last month of school can be the most stressful of all. We're all tired of each other. And back at the end of April and early May, I got up one morning, and I had a sense of dread about the day. And it wasn't because I didn't love my students and I didn't like my job. It was just there was so much that had to be accomplished in such a short amount of time. And so as I got ready for work, I just, instead of meditating the word and who I am, I just let those thoughts of all the list of things that had to accomplish roll through my mind. And so I had finished getting ready, and I went to the kitchen, and I was getting ready to make breakfast and pack lunch, and there's a calendar on our refrigerator that a coworker gave me at Christmas. And when I had flipped that calendar from April to May, I really had not paid attention to it. It has beautiful scenes of nature, and it has scriptures, but I'd not paid attention. But when I got to that refrigerator, y'all, it was like that calendar was going to jump off the fridge into my face. And it was the Holy Spirit. And I looked at that scripture, and it was Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. And it says, "With joy I will draw from the wells of salvation." And I said, you know what? That's right. What am I doing? Why am I trying to think of how I'm going to do this? So at that moment, I began to speak to myself about who I was and who Jesus is in me. And that I go to that school every day to carry the glory of God to those children who need it, to remind them of who they are. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost and just stir myself up. And, you know, we've been taught what salvation is. It's everything that you need. It's provision. It's soundness of mind. It's peace. It's joy. It's righteousness. It's everything you need. But sometimes we just don't stir it up and remind ourselves of who we are. And Dusty was preaching, I think it was last Sunday, and he read a scripture. And it was 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, and this is the New King James. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, really all dread or doubt or worry is a form of fear. It's an idea that you don't have enough, you're not enough. But you don't have to be enough because Jesus is more than enough. So I just encourage you, whatever it is, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's soundness of mind because you've been dealing with stress or anxiety in your life or having to make a decision, what you spoke about, things like that, that spoke to the North Campus over here. I will tell you, we've all just been going, amen, amen. But whatever that is in you, stir up the gift that's in you. Go to the word, remind yourself of your promises, of who you are. Declare that out loud out of your mouth. Sometimes, y'all, I look at myself face to face in the mirror and say things. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, "Heather, God loves you." Because sometimes Heather needs to remember that. And then I remind myself that if he loves me, then that means that's who I am. And I can love anybody. And if I need peace, then I say, "Heather, you're peace. Heather, your righteousness. Heather, your joy. Heather, your provision." So I speak to myself and I remind myself. And I don't say those things out of obligation. I say them to remind Heather of who she is, of who I am. So I just encourage you, stir up your well. You've got a whole well of salvation. And, you know, I spent a lot of years of my life thinking I was trying to get more of God in me. I've got all of him on the inside of me. It's a river. And if I'll stir my well, it'll start overflowing and it'll bubble out on everybody. So that's my word for tonight. The glory's on the inside of you. You have wells of salvation. Stir them up. Stir them up so it'll just keep flowing and keep flowing and keep flowing out on other people. And you'll spill out all over everybody. Amen.
That's an awesome word. Okay, so let's put that into action. Begin to stir it up right now. We're going to start stirring it up right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is a time of activation. You know, and the gifts of the Spirit are there. They're available in us right now. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's given a gift to every single person. You have the Holy Spirit, everything that you need. And so that could be prophecy, that could be tongues, interpretation, that could be gifts of healing. It could be a word of knowledge. It could be a word of wisdom. It could be any of that, you know. And so I want to encourage you, let's listen to what the Holy Spirit says. We'll go for about the next 15 or 20 minutes and just, let the Spirit of God move in and through us. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. So just a couple of instructions. Number one, pursue love. Pursue love. That tells me two things. One, I'm pursuing Him because God is love. And two, it tells me that love is always outward focused. It's never inward focused. And so it's about pursuing what's best for other people. So I'm not getting up to give a word because I want to draw attention to myself. I'm giving what God gives me to try to be a blessing and to edify and build people up. Okay, so pursue love. Number two, it says desire spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:1, and desire spiritual gifts. You will not step into the gifts of the Spirit without desiring to. Amen. So you have to desire it. Then step into it, okay? And then just as we pray, the only other encouragement, and this is really for some of you that may be new here that haven't done this or that haven't been part of a service like this. So I want to give you some practical instruction that helps. This is a safe place. So what we're going to do, if you haven't, guys, let's go ahead and bid goodbye to our live stream audience. And what we'll do is we'll say bye-bye. We're just gonna go into a personal time of ministry and a personal time of the gifts. And we want this to be a very safe place where what happens at Life of Faith stays at Life of Faith in this 30 minutes or so right here. So that you don't feel like that there's a spotlight on you or that you're too afraid of missing it or something like that. We want to elevate each other. Everybody is equal in the eyes of God. Everybody's the same in the body of Christ. So I want to give you these kind of instructions. One, be willing to have whatever you say be judged according to the Word of God. At the end of the day, it's not about you. At the end of the day, it's about making sure that we're speaking what God says. Okay, and we'll never grow if we're not willing to let that be tested. And so there's two scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, let two or three prophesy and let others judge, which means we need to, any word that we give needs to be available to be judged. If you ever get this mindset, I hear from God and I'm sure I'm right, whether you think it or whether you don't, that's a haughty and a prideful attitude, and God's not going to work through that. So that's number one. You'd be willing to let that be judged and be willing to say, yeah, that's right, that's wrong. And the other thing the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, I think, test all things and hold to that which is good. And he's talking about prophesying there.